Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Mo, this team amazes me. Their run differential is high. They are second best in the division. Their pitching has been spectacular since picking up Derek Johnson and Lee Tunnell. And they have just played sporadic baseball offensively. But is this team buying or selling come the trade deadline?
I think they're buying. I don't think the way we use those terms, buying and selling, in the traditional sense really applies to this team. I don't think they're going to hand over their best prospects for a guy who's going to help them for 2 months. I think what they're looking for is probably unattainable. They're looking for a controllable bat and a controllable arm. They're looking for somebody who's going to be here beyond 2019, and really, who isn't? You know, I mean, that's, you could say that about pretty much everybody. This was not a team that really went all in the offseason. They tried to make upgrades. Clearly they have, but they tried to do it without that coming at the expense of their best prospects in the farm system. And I still think they're unwilling enough to, or too unwilling, I should say, to move those guys that you're going to see them make a huge splashy move. But yeah, they're looking for starting pitching help, and they really need a bat somewhere, because this offense has, as you mentioned, been very sporadic all year long.
If they decide to add pieces, you would assume their focus is going to be on the bullpen, correct?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think their bullpen has been a strength most of the season. In the last week or so, it's kind of cratered a little bit. But look, the way David Bell manages, which is frankly the way a lot of people manage in 2019, they've carried eight relievers all year long. They go to that bullpen a lot. I think they're maybe a little bit concerned about overuse. It was a good sign that in the games leading up to the All-Star break, and Brewers fans saw a couple of them, they had starters go a little bit deeper into games. But yeah, I certainly think that they would look at bullpen upgrades just because of how frequently they go to that pen, and maybe insulating themselves a little bit against guys hitting a wall. But I think more than anything, I think if you said to Dick Williams, the guy who runs the club, look, you could have one. You could have a bat, you could have a bullpen arm, or you could have a starting pitcher. He would probably take the bat. They are, you know, going to get Alex Wood here hopefully by the beginning of August, who hasn't thrown a pitch for them this year. I think they look at him as good of an option to fill a spot in the starting staff as anybody they can get from the outside. I think they look at their bullpen as still a relative strength. The offense is at or near the bottom in many major categories in both the National League and really all throughout Major League Baseball. The question is, number one, what are you going to give up to get that bat? And number two, what specific position are you looking for that bat to play? But I think that's their biggest need, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if at the deadline, if they address just one area, that it's the offense more than anything in the bullpen or in the starting rotation.
Now, Scooter Gennett started the year hurt. He is back, but they've got one-year contracts with Puig. I know Scooter's coming up on the end of his deal. So is Tanner Roark, Iglesias. If they decide to become sellers, say the next 2 weeks don't pan out the way they thought, do you see them moving any one of those guys? I mean, I thought for sure that they would have re-signed Scooter Gennett and put him to some kind of a long-term deal.
Yeah, and Scooter would be the first to tell you he thought the same thing. If you get to free agency, if you get to your walk year with the Reds, it's because they want you to. You know, they obviously have gotten a lot from Scooter Gennett in the two full seasons that he's played. I think they view him as somebody who is unlikely to give them the kind of production he did those first two seasons. And so I think they will be okay with letting him hit free agency. And, you know, the way free agency is in baseball these days, you know this as well as anybody, you know, who knows what the market's going to be. And so maybe that makes Scooter Gennett easier to sign at perhaps a cost that is maybe a little bit less than anybody would have imagined. They have a lot of guys who are under no contract for 2020. Puig is obviously at the top of that list. I mentioned Alex Wood, Tanner Roark, David Hernandez, and Jared Hughes out of the bullpen. Scooter Jeanette's obviously on that list. Jose Iglesias, their starting shortstop. The problem is, individually, I'm not sure many of those guys have a ton of value. Are you really going to give up a lot for Scooter Jeanette? Are you really going to give up a lot for Tanner Roark? Yasiel Puig is in a different category because, you know, first of all, he's, despite struggling at times in the first half, he still does have 20 homers. He certainly has hit here recently, and he is immensely popular. And I'm kind of wondering if the fact that he has been a good teammate, he's played hard, he's done all the right things, if that might make them a little bit more likely to sign him long term. But, yeah, you're right. If over the next two and a half weeks this thing totally falls apart and 2 weeks from now we're talking about a team that is nowhere near first place and nowhere near the second wild card, they've got some guys they can move. I just don't know that individually there's going to be a huge market for any of them. But, yeah, they could quickly go from buy to sell mode almost overnight based on what happens here with the beginning of the second half.
The Reds 41-46, 4.5 games back right now in the basement of the NL Central, but it's very much a jumble. Talk with Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 out of Cincinnati. How much of the pitching resurgence, because here, and I had mentioned Lee Tunnell and I mentioned Derek Johnson, here the Brewers went from being a top five ERA staff overall and having one of the best bullpens in baseball. Now Corey Knebel being injured, that certainly hurts them, but they went from being one of the top staffs in baseball to now about mid-pack till below halfway point of mid-pack where the Reds have had this resurgence. How much of Derek Johnson and Lee Tunnell has that effect been because of those two gentlemen?
Of all the moves the Reds made this offseason, I think that was the biggest one, hiring those two guys. And go no further than Sonny Gray, who made the All-Star team. And Sonny Gray pitched for Derek Johnson at Vanderbilt. And they acquired Sonny Gray this offseason from the New York Yankees. And despite a bad year last year in the Bronx, they gave him a 3-year contract extension. They invested in Sonny Gray, but I think they invested in Derek Johnson being able to fix Sonny Gray. And in Cleveland this week, Sonny was asked about that, and he said, you know, effectively, Derek Johnson has revived my career. And then I've talked with a couple of different people, a couple of different guys on the staff, a reliever, a couple of starters who have both said, you know, look, this guy gets it. This guy understands teaching. This guy is an effective communicator. And they'll say the same things about Lee Tunnell. And look, they went out and got guys. They acquired Tanner Roark from the outside. But I think look no further than pitchers who had been here last year or pitchers who had been a part of this organization before who, you know, really either really didn't do all that much or certainly didn't pitch to the level they're throwing this year. And you've seen a massive uptick in their production. Luis Castillo has gone from promising arm to now maybe one of the best five pitchers in baseball. I think Derek Johnson has something to do with that. Robert Stevenson is a guy whose career kind of hung in the balance when spring training started. He's proven to be a somewhat dependable member of that bullpen. He would be the first to tell you Derek Johnson has had a lot to do with that. It has been, and I remember talking with Jeff Brantley, who does, you know, Reds games on radio, pitched forever in the big leagues. And when they hired Derek Johnson, asking Jeff Brantley about it, and he raved about him. And that has continued through spring training and obviously has continued through the regular season. And a starting staff that, first of all, pitches in the ballpark here, which is very homer-friendly, and a team that has had such difficulties in getting hitters out on a consistent basis, for them to post the results that we've seen this year, it's obviously a credit to the individual guys. But, yeah, you could certainly give a lot of that to Derek Johnson and by extension, Lee Tunnell as well.
Mo, it's always a pleasure to talk to you on Sunday. I'll be at the house in Brookville for a week. So if you want to come out to the lake, bring the family, bring the new kids, and come on out and enjoy yourself for a day, buddy, okay?
That sounds beautiful. Thank you, sir.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Mo Egger joining us for a couple of minutes from ESPN 1530 out of Cincinnati. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.